me.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generation.
The eternal life. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America.
This is the week of the Festival of Shavuos, the ancient Jewish festival which commemorates the spring wheat harvest of Palestine and the covenant between God and man first set down at Sinai.
Our dramatization today by Morten Wishengrad is a story of hunger. The narrator is Roger DeCoven. Following the dramatic portion of the program, you'll hear a talk by the Director General of UNRWA, Fiorello H. LaGuardia.
There is a guest at my table, and at yours also. Is his place prepared, and has a chair been put forward for him? He is invisible, yet he is there. He watches. His eyes are big. His belly is bloated. The odor of hunger is about him. And each spoonful that you carry to your lips measures the decay of his hope and covers the streets of your city with the footprints of his blood. We must come with emotion to the fact. The word is fames, a Latin word signifying hunger. And the subject is famine, for which your emotion must render the human equivalent. Translate hunger into a man, and for famine say instead 500 million men, women, children. 500 million, one half a billion, one in every four upon the face of the earth. Do not be hasty. Speak no words. Swear no promises. Make no covenants. For the guest at your table is doomed to pursue, but never to overtake. He shall eat and not have enough. And unto you and unto me and unto the ministers, the priests, the rabbis, the presidents, the kings, the dictators, the legislatures, the assemblies, and the parliaments, unto us all pertaineth the judgment. We must begin with the fact and prove it. There are experts. They have gathered the testimony of the nations.
Of the population of Europe, 100 million people are now subsisting on a daily diet of 1,500 calories or less.
Of the population of Bulgaria, 9%.
Czechoslovakia, 16%.
Romania, 30%.
Spain, 40%.
Finland, 43%.
Hungary, 50%.
Italy, 59%.
Austria, 74%.
Germany, 75%.
The total is 100 million subsisting on a diet of 1,500 calories.
On this diet, a man walks slowly. He cannot run. He is always exhausted.
On this diet, a young boy or girl may possibly grow in height, but he will gain no weight.
Those who receive less than 1,500 calories are not hungry. They are starving.
A daily intake of 1,500 calories represents not enough food to die on, not enough to live on.
Are you impatient with statistics? Perhaps you are wise in your impatience.
The figures, the percentages, the multiplications, the numerical comparisons, they are all a trick. Nothing more or less than the device of the expert to shield the fact from your emotion. Yes, there is a great difference between actuarial death and actual death. One is merely a cipher. The other is flesh. Let us consider the flesh. The flesh of Asia.
Famine in China.
Already dead of starvation, 4 million.
Unless help is quickly forthcoming, you may write off 30 to 40 million Chinese by the end of the year.
Famine in India.
In 1943, a famine year, 500,000 died.
It is variously estimated that an additional 10 to 20 millions will die.
Be careful, this is still another trick. The word million, beware of it. You're not expected to comprehend it. One man is your brother. One man who knows wetness, cold, pain, the affection of youth, the love of his espousals, the first fruit of marriage. This you know and understand. But 1 million is nothing or less than nothing. I understand one man. I do not understand 1 million men. One man is a Muslim, Buddhist, a Christian, a Jew. He is a mystic, an agnostic, an atheist. His skin is black, yellow, white. He was conceived in the womb as I was conceived. He breathes the air I breathe. He dies as I will die. I understand one man. I do not understand 1 million men. And not understanding 1 million, how shall you and I understand 500 million? Allow the expert his conclusion.
The famine emergency will not pass this summer. It will not even pass next summer. We face 5 years of famine. These are the dry and barren statistics of catastrophe.
The dry and barren statistics of catastrophe. But his is not finished.
I have read the reports of the investigating commission. They are founded on a deplorable error. The food quotas proposed are too low. The famine countries need more than food for minimum life. They need food for work. That's the problem facing us.
Why? How? When? Ask the questions. Why? Why is war? How? How is the missing farmer buried in a soldier's uniform? How is rainless skies and parched fields? How is sterile soil lacking fertilizer, lacking seed, lacking the plow and the tractor? When? When is now? Why and how and when? Oh, there are many questions and many entrances, and only one door to go out. And how does a child or a woman or a man go through that door? The gnawing sensation of the upper abdomen, the tissue wasted, the fat consumed of itself, the restlessness of the mind, the languor, the lassitude, the numbing faintness, and the blessed end of all sensation in the land of thick darkness. Yet it takes a long time to starve to death. And there is still a guest at the table. And he, too, asks the question.
We were promised food with victory.
I remember.
Why weren't you prepared?
We didn't expect the war to last so long.
Why wasn't the food accumulated and saved?
We didn't expect the war to be over so soon.
The question is true, the answer is true, the true and lunatic answer for the lunatic time in which the nations were prepared neither for death nor for life. Do not search for villains, there are no villains. There are only 500 million hungry. And for them, our feasts, our new moons, our Sabbaths, and our seasons are a steady time appointed for
before the contractions of the stomach. For all this, there is an explanation. The first, war and the payment of war. The second is drought, the worst drought in modern history. And the drought came with war. Drought in
Australia,
China,
North Africa,
the Danube Basin,
South Africa,
the Ukraine.
While Winston Churchill was saying that war dragged a hot rake up Italy, fields were parched in the grain lands of the world. And with drought came hurricane and typhoon and tidal wave. The doom of the rice harvest in Burma and India and Indochina and Siam. Explain this to the guest at the table, but he will not hear. He is no longer a reasonable man. Cause and effect have no logic for him. He is a man obsessed, fanatic, perverted by the fantasy of food. Explain other causes, other effects. Explain to him the tragedy of Holland. A farmer standing in a desolate field.
Feel this soil.
This?
Take it in your hand.
Doesn't feel like soil, it's more like dough.
Yes. Spongy like dough. Out there, beyond, there are the dikes. When the Nazi invaded, we broke the dikes. 200 years to reclaim this land from the sea. 2 minutes to explode the dikes and let the sea come back.
The salt sea. The salt sea which transformed the fertile lowlands of Holland into sterile, viscous muck.
It will take years before the salt will wash out. The land can't feed us now.
Agricultural consequence of war. Repeat this in China, in Hubei province, in Guangxi, Guangdong, Huizhou. 2 million acres of rich soil flooding from the Yellow River to keep the Japanese back. 2 million acres which fed 3 million people. And 3 million people now in the valley of the Yellow River who eat clay. Leave China, return to Europe. Poland. Poland is a good example. Looks like rain.
Yes.
Good for the land.
Sure.
Your potatoes in the ground?
No potatoes. We eat the seed potatoes.
How can you do that? That's agricultural suicide.
Yes.
You're a farmer, aren't you?
I am a farmer, also a father. We eat the seed potatoes. The children have nothing else.
In 1 month, in 2 months, he will also be a guest at your table. He and his wife and his children. They are not alone. Seed potatoes in Poland, seed wheat in France, seed rice in India, and a winter harvest of famine. This is the biological consequence of war. This is the erosion of human life. This is the book of Jeremiah. It is a land of deserts and droughts, where none passes through and no man dwells. These are the men and women and children left with nothing but their eyes to weep with. Listen. This is the mayor of the Yugoslav city of Vlasnitsa.
Our children eat every other day.
He has nothing else to say. Ask him a question, for example. Ask how old this child is.
He's 14 years old.
You must be mistaken. This boy is hardly 8 or 9.
He is my own son. He is 14 years old.
There are no more questions. He is a guest at the table.
Also, ask no questions of the teacher in this French schoolhouse.
Mes enfants, écoutez, j'ai faim. Avez-vous du pain? Alors, continuons.
He is too weak to teach. They are too weak to learn.
Doctor, my little girl does not see.
How many fingers, little girl?
An incident in Greece, any city.
How many fingers, little girl?
Doctor, she does not see.
Hmm? Well, don't worry. It's not permanent blindness. Merely a deficiency of vitamin A. Feed her milk. Well, for heaven's sake, stop looking at me. What do you want me to do?
If you were not so hungry, he might apologize later, but he does not apologize. He knows his own symptoms. The physiological irritation of hunger. Let us proceed. At least here in this place, there are no emaciated scarecrows.
They look rather plump and well-fed, don't they? It's dropsy. Famine dropsy. Hunger edema, if you want to be fancy. The body fluid escapes through the blood vessels into the tissues. And don't be taken in by the rosy cheeks. That's tuberculosis.
Logical consequence of war. And for those who have transgressed the covenants of biology, there are new synonyms. The synonym for Romania is pellagra. The synonym for many districts in Italy is a garbage can scraped clean. There are few pleasant recitals in the Europe of 1946. If this is hard listening for you, believe that it is hard telling for me. But for them, it is harder still. And for the mothers in civilized Europe, it is hardest of all. In Poland, of every 1,000 births, this happens 250 times.
I want to see my wife.
Not now, please.
Let me in, please.
She doesn't want to see you.
She's my wife, isn't she? Anna.
She doesn't want to talk to you.
Anna. In God's name, is it my fault that the baby was born dead?
Better that there should be no birth, none with child, and no conception.
Anna, you don't know what you are saying. I will go and pray for you.
The altar is covered with thorns and with thistles. Say to the mountains, cover us, and to the hills, fall upon us.
In Poland, of every 1,000 babies born, 250 babies die. And those who do not die make the peculiar sound of children who are hungry. They shall say to the mountains, cover us, and to the hills, fall upon us. These are the facts. These are the partial facts of catastrophe. Only the partial facts. But the answer must be full and complete. Are there answers to give? Yes, there are answers. There is the statement and the action of the Director General of UNRWA, Fiorello H. LaGuardia.
From this point on, the protocol is off. It is food that we need. People are crying for bread, not advice. I want plows, not typewriters. The people need relief, not sympathy. I want fast-moving ships, not slow-moving resolutions. The people in our own country learned during the Depression that ticker tape ain't spaghetti.
The guest is at the table. Has a place been prepared for him? And what shall be prepared?
Bread, fats, milk for the people.
fertilizer, seed, draft animals, farm machinery for the land.
The land and the people, 500 million hungry people, 500 million, one of every four on the face of the earth. The guests at the table. Yes, the guest is at the table. He is invisible and he has no voice for speech, but he is there. And his silence is a warning. His silence is a prophecy. It takes a long time to starve to death, but death from disease is swift. And there will be disease. There is always disease. First rides war, and then famine rides, and after famine, the pestilence follows.
Pellagra.
Beriberi.
Diphtheria.
Scarlet fever.
Tuberculosis.
Influenza.
Typhus.
Cholera.
Plague.
Epidemic dysentery.
The pestilence has come. And it will not be content to stay where it is. It will move. It will not ask your permission nor stop at the consulates for entry visas or tourist permits. Disease carries no passports. You cannot exorcise it with an immigration quota. We return now to the fact of our emotion. The word is famis, a Latin word signifying hunger. And the subject is famine. And the subject is also the biblical verse, sow to yourselves according to righteousness, reap according to mercy. You and I cannot reject that text. It is written upon our eyes, but eyes can only see, and hands must do. The time is now, and now is very late. They faint in the streets. They walk with the tread of mourners at their own funerals. They suspend on the margin of life. One more season of drought, another succession of bad harvests, and they are dead. Dead in the tens of millions. It is a race, and for better or for worse, rightly or wrongly, we in America are the runners. They cannot come to meet us. We must go to them. And our hands dare not be empty. Sow to yourselves according to righteousness. Reap according to mercy.
Thank you, Roger DeCoven. If you would like a free copy of the script you've just heard, write to The Eternal Light, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now, we present the Director General of the United Nations Relief and Rehabilitation Administration, Mr. Fiorello H. LaGuardia.
Yes, it is a race. Between carrying on God's will against the destruction and devastation of cruel, greedy, selfish men. We are going to them, and not with empty hands. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Thanks, Yeshiva, for that message. It came from a people with over 5,000 years of civilization, culture, and wisdom. From a people with over 2,000 years of persecution and discrimination, who have learned how to suffer and who understand. The narrative that you've just heard is not an overstatement, and I'm in a position to tell you that. For daily, yes, hourly, come to my desk reports from UNRWA missions in all parts of the world. March, April, May shipments were far below. The food wasn't available. We'd hoped to catch up in the latter part of May, but interruption of transportation and weather conditions beyond our control slowed us up. June arrivals of bread grains will be several hundred thousand tons below minimum requirements. So that the cruel statistics that you've just heard are way, way above that which the people will actually get in the month of June. Ah, but we are rushing these shipments if we have no interruption in transportation. And let us hope that there will be none. Most of the countries mentioned are living from day to day, verily, from hand to mouth. There are only a few days stock on hand. That is because of shortage month after month. And the condition in China is simply beyond description. We need your support and we need your understanding. And what is more, now that we are doing so much, let us do it graciously. Let us not take from what the overwhelming majority of the American people want. To help these people, let not a small minority spoil it all by their grudging, by their grousing, by their complaining. God has given us so much in our country. We're blessed with abundance. That is why we give more, because we have more to give. We cannot be happy in an unhappy world. We do not want to see people die of hunger. We are called upon to carry on God's will. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. We must not let that be destroyed.
Thank you, Mr. LaGuardia. Eternal Light is written by Morton Wishengrad. The music is composed by Morris Mimorski and conducted by Milton Catons. The liturgical introduction was sung by cantor David Putterman. Featured as the narrator was Roger DeCoven. The entire production was under the direction of Frank Papp. If you would like a free copy of today's script, including the talk of UNRWA Director General LaGuardia, write to the Eternal Light, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. I shall repeat the address, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. This program is a presentation of the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations in cooperation with the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.